Story 10, Iditarod Part 2. This is another story from Shoni, the retired sled dog. If your child would like to follow the Iditarod Trail with Shoni, go to the Sled Dog Podcast website and print one out. This is brought to you by SledDogPodcast.com.
Shoni, Shoni, is it time yet? Can we hear the rest of the story now?
Why, Zadok, you are a clever pup. Did you get off your chain all by yourself this time?
Yep, I couldn't wait, Shoni, and I also made sure no one was looking while I unhooked. Is it time, Shoni? Huh?
Okay, why, I guess we can begin. Is everyone ready for more of the story on the last great race on Earth?
Yep.
Let's see. We left off leaving the village of Ophir on the way to the deserted town of Iditarod. Yes, Grandma Wings said that there were lots of bumps, lots of creeks, and not a lot of people. The checkpoint of Iditarod was quiet when her team came in. It used to be a town a long time ago, but no one lives there now.
Where did all the people go, Shoni?
Well, many have asked that question, Abigail, and it must be hard for dogs to understand. Oh, about 100 years ago, lots of people went to Alaska to look for something called gold. Gold is the shiny substance that the master wears around one of his fingers. It's very valuable to humans, so they all went to Alaska to get some.
What is valuable, Shoni?
Well, it's different for humans than dogs, but it means what is important or something that costs a lot of money. For dogs, we value food and water. I personally find my house valuable. Those things are important to us.
Like a bone, Shoni, or when the master brings us a really yummy bowl of slump?
Misha values her bones so much. She buries them for safekeeping. I personally like to play with them too much. And then, of course, I eat them.
Oh, now enough about dog food. Wing's team stayed in Iditarod for a few hours because the next stop was Shagaluk, and the run is hilly and has nowhere for the musher to stay if the weather gets bad.
So what would a musher do if the weather got bad on the trail, Shoni?
Well, Zadok, the musher would have to sleep on the sled or build some kind of shelter or make a shelter out of the snow.
I am glad we can just snuggle in snow and keep warm. Humans sure have a lot of work to do to keep warm.
Well, now the next village was called Anbik, but that run wasn't too long, and Wing's master was in good spirits. He was still near the head of the pack, you see. Right before Anbik, Wing said they get to a big river called the Yukon. They travel all along this river for days, and Wing said it was at least a mile across.
Wow.
Now, from Anbik, it was so strange. They only had to travel less than an hour to Grayling. Here they got a better picture of this immense river. The wind was always in their face as they continued up the river to Eagle Island.
So they actually ran on water? Or do you mean they ran beside the river, Shoni?
Oh, Abigail, yes, they actually ran on the water. But remember, Alaska is much colder than here. Now the master told us at the last race that it was 0 degrees. Wing said that it was often 40 degrees below zero there, and that doesn't include the whipping wind. When it is this cold, the water freezes, so they were actually running on the ice, mile after mile, bend after bend, passing islands, no towns or people.
Oh my!
Now they made it into Eagle Mountain, but there was not much there, so they went on to Kaltag. It was at this time that when they rested, the master kept switching leaders. See, the leader has to bear the brunt of those cold Yukon winds. And Wing said it was tough. Oh, but not as tough as that last stretch in the end. The master also brought little coats for them to wear because the winds made it feel lots colder than it actually was.
Oh, did I hear you say they got little coats to wear? How delightful! Shoni, do you know what color they were?
Why, I don't believe anyone has ever asked that question, Sophia. I'm not quite sure.
Oh, I would want a pink coat, and how lovely that would look with my purple harness. Don't you think? I wonder if the master will ever get us little coats.
Well, I guess if you work a little harder, and the master can use you on longer races way up north where it's cold, well, maybe you might get a coat.
Work harder? Longer races? Oh, dear me. That just wouldn't do at all. Well, I must be off, pups. A lady must bathe each and every day, you know.
Now, once they got to Caltag, they had traveled almost 150 miles on that river, and Wing's team was happy to get off that ice trail. The master had put booties on them, but that didn't keep all the cold out. So thankfully, they got to get back into the woods, climb some hills, and though they had to travel a little more on another river, the team was happy and full of steam coming into the little village of Unalakleet.
Was that Yukon River kind of like traveling along the pipeline in the last race, Shoni? Though it was only a mile, it seemed to go on forever. I much prefer running through the woods. You never know what's around the next corner.
Well, I imagine so, Royal. Well, now nearing the end of this stretch, the weather started getting bad. See, Unalakleet is on the Bering Sea coast. A sea is like a large lake, only this one opens out into the Pacific Ocean. And the sea air started blowing at the team before they even got there. Wing said you could smell it, even though you couldn't see it. Unalakleet is a big town, and the team got to rest for a while, but they were not used to all the people everywhere, and it was hard to rest. Now the next stretch was only about 40 miles, but it was along the Bering Sea coast, and the wind is like nothing we have ever felt.
Shoni, I can't remember if you told us how many miles they have gone so far.
Well, once they got to Shaktulik, they had gone 900 miles and only had 229 miles to go.
Well, I was going to tell you that we got second place in our last race, Shoni, but we only went 2 miles, and that's not good, is it?
Now, Abigail, the master chose you for a 2-mile race, right?
Right.
And you ran that race as fast and as well as you could, correct?
Of course, Shoni, just like you and my dad Squirrel taught me.
Whether you are running a 900-mile or a 2-mile race, a race is a race. And as long as you run it well, then the master will always tell you, well done. Some of us are called to lots of little races in life, and some of us are called to long, enduring ones. We should never think one race is better than the other. Remember to keep your focus on the race before you, though you can learn from the races of others.
Okay, Shoni, I remember that.
On the stretch from Shaktulik to Koyuk, the team ran into some problems. See, the trail continues to wind around the seacoast, though it actually goes over part of it. The wind is just whipping at times. And at one point, Wings and her team came to a halt, when all they could see was white all around them.
Was Wings in lead?
No, Levi. There was a dog named Pepper.
That's it. I'm done. I can't see anything but white. The wind is blowing so hard I can't even sniff a trail. I'm not going one step further. I'm not moving.
Pepper, you have to go on. We surely can't stay here. You know we'll blow out to sea.
Salt, you lead then. I want to be put in wheel. I just can't do it.
I'm not going to lead. No way. You are a better lead than me, Pepper. Now, how can I lead?
Now, Wings could barely hear what they were saying because of all the wind. She was just 2 dogs behind Pepper. But then, a dog in point named Paprika.
Hey, guys, knock this off. We gotta get out of here. The wind isn't dying, and I don't plan on dying on this sea.
Oh, Paprika, you lead.
I'm not leading, not in this wall of white. No way.
Finally, Wings caught what was going on. And knowing that time was important.
Ruff, ruff. Master, put me in lead. Ruff, ruff. Master, put me in lead.
It's all right, guys. I'm coming. Come on, Pepper. Salt. We got to keep moving, boys. Wings, do you want to lead?
Ruff, ruff.
Okay, guys. I'll switch you out, and let's keep moving.
Thanks, Wings. I just can't do it.
It's all right, Pepper, but don't fail me now. We've got to keep going. Just keep your head down and just think of the straw waiting for us.
Wings, just get us out of here. My partner Cayenne is starting to freak out too.
It'll be all right, Paprika. Cayenne, put your heads down and stay right behind me. All right, everyone, let's hike.
Wings said she kept her nose almost on the ice and snow the whole time so that she wouldn't lose the scent of the trail. She refused to think about all the white emptiness swirling around her and kept her thoughts on making it to the checkpoint for kibble and straw. Over and over she would say, "Kibble and straw, kibble and straw." Every once in a while she would get a glimpse of something that helped her direction. Her nose and eyes were so cold they were burning. Her legs ached, but she put it out of her mind and she trotted forward. Kibble and straw, kibble and straw. If she heard the dogs complain, she barked an encouraging bark.
Wow.
Thankfully, that stretch was under 50 miles, but it was a long 50 miles. Now, the actual trail that those mushers took back in 1925 didn't actually go to Koyuk, but the very brave musher, Leonard Zapala, took the valuable package of medicine straight to Golovin, which meant he rode right across the sea with open ice and much stronger winds. But that is very dangerous, so the trail goes from Shaktulik to Koyuk on the coast, and then to Elim, and then on to Golovin. The lead dog to do that really tough stretch was named Togo.
Togo? Oh yeah, my mama told us that Togo was the greatest lead dog that ever lived.
No, Levi. My mama told me that Balto was the greatest sled dog that ever lived. He was on a sled dog team that actually brought the medicine to those sick people. He made it to Nome and saved everyone.
Are you calling my mama a liar, Squirrel?
Are you calling my mama a liar, Levi?
Boys, now let me tell you the real story. Actually, you both are right. Both dogs were tremendously brave. You see, they couldn't have done anything without working together. Togo led his team on the worst stretch of the trail. Without his effort, the medicine would have never made it. He was injured, however, so it was awesome that another team was waiting in Golovin to take the medicine the rest of the way. Balto, with his brave dog team, then took the medicine from Golovin to Nome. Interestingly, both Togo and Balto were owned by Zapala. So, you see, one couldn't have done it without the other. And what about the rest of the team? They were not alone. Though lead dogs are tremendously important, they still need a team to run with them and help pull.
If I get to have pups and I have two boys, I'm going to name them Balto and Togo.
Well, Abigail, you little pup, let's just keep pups in the future now. Now, for the sake of time, we'll just skip over Elim. And here, Wing and her team began the climb to Little McKinley, which goes up to 1,000 feet. Now, Wings continued to lead and was doing great after the rest in Koyuk. Her master gave her an extra helping of fish, which she ate slowly before dozing off happily in her straw. She got to Koyuk thinking of kibble, but fish was oh so much better.
I get all warm and fuzzy when I think about fish and straw tube.
It is a great inspiration for us dogs, huh, Levi? Now, once they came into Golovin, Wings Musher didn't even stop and pressed on to White Mountain. She said he was anxious about something. Wings couldn't really tell by the tone of his voice. Something in the way he was acting made her know that the whiteout storm out of Shaktulik wasn't the last of the bad weather.
Aren't we almost in Nome, Shoney?
Yes. White Mountain is 77 miles to Nome, Zadok.
Ah, piece of cake, then. The race is just about over. Golly, they have already gone over 1,000 miles. Not really a piece of cake for me, for them. I'll take my 5 miles any day.
Yes, I understand, Squirrel. Though White Mountain is close, the weather problems have been known to be very, very bad. By the time they got into White Mountain, the snow was falling heavily. The team was weary, and Wings was sure the master would switch her out of lead. The master was still at the head of the pack, but the other musher, who had won the Iditarod 4 times as well, was an hour ahead of him coming into White Mountain. As the snow and the wind picked up, the team prepared to bed down for a wind-howling rest. For a ground storm of such loudness, surely every musher would remain at this checkpoint until it subsided. Or will he?
Thank you for listening. And if you like this program, would you mind telling a friend about it? Or even better, would you mind telling a friend and making a donation on the webpage? Dog food is always welcome. And from all of us from Sled Dog Podcast, happy mushing!